Let's talk about
iOS. Number four, after an hour.
The world's best.
Good point. That is for an 8-core machine at 5K.
Yeah,
it's a, still a decent price.
iOS 10, yeah,
it's a good price.
Has an industry it's a great price. 96% customer satisfaction.
Oh yeah, customer set.
Absolutely incredible that 86% of our customers are.
Yeah, you got to factor in 27-inch 5K display, 8-core Xeon. I'm assuming the base config's got to be at least 16 gigs, if not 32 gigs of RAM, right?
Yeah. From horrible.
I'm guessing 16.
So the Intel Xeon.
With iOS, developers can always target the latest capabilities and features of our latest
$3,500
system.
At scan.
And be confident that there's
and it's not right. It's not the same one.
Now today, we're going to take the world's best
2006 is the best price I can get.
Let me guess, iOS is going up to 11?
And turn it up to 11.
Yeah.
Yes. Nice.
Spinal.
Yeah. Like who said they would do that? I don't know. Someone said something.
It's almost required. It's a little too obvious, actually.
You can buy anything, let's talk about iOS. Yeah, whether you can afford it or not, it's a different thing. 2,650 quid is the cheapest I can get an Intel 18-core Xeon E5 Broadwell server CPU processor.
We have a lot to talk about. We're going to start with messages. Now, you all know in iOS 10, we added iMessage.
What's that icon on the right?
And stickers. People have had a lot of fun with these. And now in iOS 11,
Patrick
we're making
Kirk
them more
give
discoverable
a shit. All
than
he wants
ever
is
with
black
this redesigned
mouse.
App drawer. You can see you have your
same
apps
here.
Accessible right there at the bottom of the screen with just a tap. You can bring them up, scroll through them, and tap into any app. It's really easy. It's going to make it a lot of fun for you to use your apps and stickers. Now the big story with messages.
We're not doing stickers. We're not doing another 30 minutes
because
on stickers.
Because now
Fred.
With your iMessages
Fred.
And
Jesus,
iCloud,
Fred.
Or messages.
Sign in to another new device, well, all of your conversations are automatically synchronized.
And hopefully it works.
And in fact, they stay in sync. So if you want to delete an embarrassing message that you don't want in your transcript, well, it goes away everywhere, which is kind of nice. So,
what, on the other person's phone as well?
This allows us to optimize your device storage because with your messages in the cloud, we only need to keep your most recent messages cached.
Rob's had a run around and he says he can get trade price $2,249
iOS and the Mac
for that.
And of course, your messages
that's still almost half the price of the machine, of the selling price of the machine.
Yeah. No, that's the 18 core.
Apple Pay.
It's for the 18 core. All right. Okay.
In fact, Apple Pay is the number one contactless.
Well, I'm guessing that the Kaby Lake will be a little bit more expensive than that.
Oh, it's contactless.
By the end of the year, it'll be available in more than 50% of retailers here in the U.S.
Craig says we've been saying it wrong. It's contactless.
But in addition to paying at retail, we use Apple
not contactless.
Pay apps. We use it in the web. And there was one final frontier we wanted to conquer, and that's Apple Pay for person-to-person payments.
Nice, but not in Germany.
Now it's super simple because it's integrated right in to messages.
Thanks, mother.
As an iMessage app.
Mother's saying in the chat, close your eyes, Patrice. It's not for you.
Nice.
So you can send and receive money.
There's Angela.
Is that Johnny? I think Johnny is in the.
Yeah, that was Johnny.
Securely. Yeah, nice.
He was sitting on the phone for the whole time. They showed him like
and
8 times already.
Money,
okay, didn't
because we're gonna see one of his videos.
Your Apple Pay Cash card, and
he
from there
for
we can
time.
Send it on to friends and family.
Fully encased in aluminium.
You can make Apple Pay purchases at retail. Or
so this is a.
And of course,
prepaid
transfer
credit card kind of
available across
correct.
All these iOS devices and Apple Watch.
This is to try and
this is smart.
PayPal.
I want that.
This is killing.
This is smart.
This is killing yeah. PayPal. This is a head-on
yes.
attack at PayPal.
So next, let's turn.
Well and,
if they integrate
the
it
with
a lot of websites, it is.
For more than 375 million.
What's up with the new Siri icon?
It's absolutely huge, and it's available in more languages and more countries than any other assistant. 21 languages and
they've got a German flag up there.
So for yeah. iOS 11,
you haven't got it.
Upgrade,
no.
No. This is Siri.
It's Siri. It's the language.
They've moved on already. Keep up.
Sorry,
keep up, Ewan.
Sorry.
And they are fast.
Really natural and expressive voice for Siri. And
a lot,
like you to
lots
hear.
To cover
Siri
here.
Can now ignore you in 30.
Here's the forecast for the next 10 days.
Yes. Not just in three.
Wait, is that a new voice?
30 different ways to say sunny. Very powerful. Now, Siri also has a male voice, and it sounds fantastic too.
I love machine learning, especially since I'm a machine.
It actually sounds kind of human.
It sounds like with trees. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
No, the male voice sounds a bit wimpy.
Exactly.
Thanks, you.
I didn't say it sounded like you, Patrice.
I did.
But it does sound wimpy. I don't think it sounds like you. I think you're masculine in a good way.
So you can now ask something like, how do you say, what are the most popular dishes in your restaurant in Chinese?
Oh, here we go.
You can say,
to do translation for you.
That's good, but translation has always been so off that you're going to get somebody slapped in the face.
Now, translation in
especially in Chinese, probably.
To Chinese, French, German,
you can say to Siri, what's the most popular dish in your restaurant? Not that there's any racism there in picking a Chinese restaurant. And Siri can reply, here are some cinemas near you.
We have Siri Kit, and Siri Kit can now do more than ever in iOS 11. So now you can do
all right, here's what I want to find out about.
By using Siri to make tasks in OmniFocus or Things, take notes in Evernote, do banking in City Mobile, or even bring up a QR code in WeChat. Now, Siri isn't just a voice assistant, because with Siri Intelligence, Siri not only understands your voice, it understands the context.
Oh,
it understands
snap. Here we
interests.
Go.
It understands how you use your device. And this allows it to ultimately understand what you want next.
Oh, no.
Now, we've all experienced this.
This has
got World War III written all over it.
Give us a time to leave notification based on our calendar.
You're going to be all knackered and Siri's going to be like, button, she would like another whiskey.
iOS 11, Siri uses on-device learning to understand
I want
more
to send Doc some money, Siri.
To
you'd like
so
to send Doc some toasted honey.
We might be interested in learning about in news. Can help us respond with our location for getting to an appointment to someone in messages. And even help us make a calendar appointment based on something we've just booked inside of Safari on the web. And what Siri learns about you on device is now kept synced across all of your devices. So you're dealing with one Siri. But
and shipped to the NSA.
Completely private.
No, that was happening before.
End-to-end encryption.
Nice.
At least for this week.
At least for this week.
Next, let's talk about the camera. People love the fantastic
Siri doesn't
cameras,
understand jack shit,
the
does
iPhone
he?
7. And
there you go,
Plus.
Camera.
And in fact, our customers now take a trillion photos per year. It's absolutely amazing. And they take a lot of video too.
That's
and
because
today,
a billion the old users. People keep press and
now,
burst.
With our latest
H.265 video.
iOS 7, we're using HEVC, which is giving us up to two times better compression for camera captured videos, which means less storage space used on
is
the
this
device,
surprising how
compression
less
means
space
shit,
used in the cloud. And we're applying these same techniques to replace JPEG capture with what we call HEIF, High Efficiency Image Format. It's based on HEVC, and it also provides awesome quality images at half the size on your device.
That's interesting. Is this a standard format?
Is it going to be converted when you
and
go
of course,
to share?
You can still share completely compatibly with others.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, with the iPhone 6,
thank you for answering my question.
These beautiful portrait photos, and now with iOS 11, we can take low light photographs using optical image stabilization, True Tone Flash, HDR. Delivers incredible image quality.
So you can expect this all of this to be somewhat
cameras,
better in the next iPhone.
Developers with a new Depth API, which
is
allowed incredibly fun.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm
like
pretty sure they will do something, some hardware part that directly
now,
has something
photos,
to do with those features.
To enjoy them in the
yeah, but I'm getting
app.
The impression this is
and
coming regardless. Your existing camera will manage to cope with it.
Yeah, sure. Sure, but I mean, you know that Apple during WWDC usually, or with the next iOS, usually pre-announces basically features without doing so. And I think this is one of them.
Hey, can recognize your pets now.
Even weddings, anniversaries, memories of your babies. It's really great. And when you go to play those back, you can see them not just in normal landscape orientation, but now watch them in portrait, taking full advantage of the height of your display. Now, when it comes to live photos,
encouraging bad behavior
enhancements as well. So you can now trim your live photos, the video around the still. You can mark any part of the video as your key photo and so much more. So these are some of the big features in iOS 11. There's
ooh, long exposure.
One other, which is a major redesign to Control Center.
That's
rather than show it in slides.
Control panel.
How about we do a demo?
I was wondering what that icon was.
All right, let's take our first
They're caving
look.
Into the video that. Format that I hate
let's
so
Let's take
much.
Our first live look.
I'm gobsmacked that there isn't a portrait video display for YouTube.
Always,
I would have thought it would be easy to
and
do.
What
maybe
you'll notice is Control Center
the way that they
is
frame
now a
the,
single
the,
page.
The web page means that they can't
the
do it.
Into a single page.
It would have made so much sense to have a portrait
switches.
Player.
I'll just do an orientation
Well, look at that.
Yeah.
It's got a beautiful little animation there for the orientation lock.
I'm assuming those are
sliders available so you can
light dimmers.
Like this, but it provides greater
no
depth,
volume and
touch,
yeah. oh,
volume and brightness
and get access to more
this
controls.
The new design of iOS
to pack lots of capabilities
yeah
really
for control
center yeah
no I mean in general this looks
so
different than the rest of the system mode,
but if I did you guys see the app
I get
Halide that was released this week Halide
and this is really great
no.
With your music,
H-A-L-I-D-E.
You
yeah, it's going to be my pick on Friday, but it's
even more information. So it's a really great.
It's brilliant.
New
I mean, it's
I
a full
really
manual control
it.
For your exposure. That's works on rotated pinwheels.
Now, mm-hmm.
oh, that's kind of nice how that those pop up. I was worried about them being too small all on one screen.
By making them one. So now, when I'm on my lock screen, if I unlock the device, just like that, I can actually now swipe back down. I'm actually on my lock screen seeing those notifications, but I can get at all my other notifications just by scrolling up like that. It's a really great unification, and you still have access, of course,
to your
widgets on the left and your camera on the right. Now, let's take a look at photos, these beautiful portrait photos, but also these great live photos. And you know, live photos capture a still, but then also a bunch of video automatically captured around it, and sometimes the best shot wasn't the still. Well, now we can go into edit mode. We could trim this video if we want, but we also can capture just the frame we want and make that our key photo. Now, we can do other really fun things with live photos. Now, here's one. Great shot, this girl blowing a bubble, but wouldn't it be great if she could just keep blowing that bubble? Well, now she can. We actually use computer vision to compute a seamless loop around this live photo. It's really fun. And we have another great effect. So here's a fun jump in the pool, but wouldn't it be better if it bounced?
No.
There it is. Now, we can really do some artistic.
I mean, if Instagram is killing boomerang like they are, I mean, you might as well, like, you know, add to the fury.
But then this movement in the water. Now, if you wanted to capture this kind of motion, traditionally you have to get a tripod and figure out how to configure a long exposure on your high-end camera. But now, you can actually just go into the effects here and select long exposure and check it out. It's really gorgeous. Now, let's take a quick look at memories, because you see, memories can now capture things like activities, like scuba diving,
under the sea.
Spot your anniversaries, these really touching memories of your children growing up, and most importantly, your pets. Let's play a movie about these pets. And what we'll see is that we play them, of course, traditionally here in landscape, which is a great way to watch video. And of course, Memories is using computer vision to actually identify photos of your pet and pick the best scenes. Now what's great is I can also rotate my phone now into portrait, and it automatically reformats to take full advantage of the height of the display. And that's a quick look at Memories. Now, with Memories, we're using machine learning to help learn more about you and
Patrick
what you're interested
Quirk
in by looking through
selling
your
Sony
library.
A6000.
But now in iOS 11,
it's not that good,
Siri
right?
does so much more.
It has a Sony processor in there, so
instance,
I mean, it's a smaller version of your A6000
about,
anyway.
Iceland, maybe I'm considering taking a trip there. There's Reykjavik as a nice location. Well, now
Glad
Siri actually
mate.
On my device spots my interest. So when I go, let's say, into news, Siri automatically surfaces for me a recommendation that I might be interested in.
I think we might have a show title. Muller's put, does this mean this camera will recognize your pussy?
And if I tap into a particular article, we can see it mentions certain locations in Iceland. I think this one is called Snæfellsnes. I hope it's okay with anyone who speaks Icelandic. But what's great is now Siri is learning this vocabulary. He knows it might be something I'm going to use in my communication in the future. So when I go into messages and start typing a message, and let's say I start typing Reykjavik, well, check it out. It learns that Reykjavik is probably a word I might type. And what about, there it is, Snæfellsnes. Pretty awesome.
That's helpful.
Now, let's take a look at stickers. Because you notice now, right on the bottom of the display, we have access to all my sticker packs. I can tap in the bottom here to my Star Wars sticker pack.
No.
You can tap and slide, say select music. And we now have Apple Pay. What? Right,
well, this
here
thing,
is Messages app. But what's
except
so cool
in Germany.
Is
well, this thing learned how to spell that city in Wales so that nobody can pronounce.
Well, you notice the QuickType keyboard automatically surfaces Apple Pay as an option and picks the amount out as what I might want to pay. I can just tap the pay button, send, and authenticate my fingerprint, and just like
Patrice.
That, I've paid with Apple Pay. And that is a quick demo of iOS 11. But wait, there is more. It starts with maps.
More stickers.
It's brought beautiful new clarity to navigation. And we're now giving you enhanced information for when you get there to the mall. So we have detailed floor plans now of malls with place cards, directory, and search.
So you can drive into your mall.
And we're going to be supporting malls in all of these cities out the gate, and hundreds more per month thereafter. And we're also bringing the support to major airports. You can see where security is, so you can plan.
Yeah, that's great.
That's good. The mall mapping, it makes it easier for guys with blue vans and Skittles.
Building out more over time.
Oh, God.
And of course, we have more improvements to navigation. So now in the upper left, you can even see your speed limit. I hope you're paying attention to that. And lane guidance, so you know which lane to be in to make
what's
your next move
limit
when navigating.
Yeah, Patrice is from Germany.
We know in addition to navigation, people like to...
Where's all the images from those cars they've been driving around?
I just want Siri to tell people, hey, Nick, you're in the left lane going too slow. Move over. That's what I want. Never mind the map. Help stupid people drive better.
Bring the same level of safety to everyone who maybe doesn't have one of the 200 models of car that currently support CarPlay. And we're building
Adam.
On Do Not Disturb with a new feature we call Do Not Disturb While Driving. And it's all about keeping your eyes on the road. When you're driving, you don't need to be responding to these kinds of messages. In fact, you don't need to see them. So now, when you install iOS 11, we're going to use Bluetooth to understand if you're connected to a car, or even if you don't have Bluetooth, we're going to use Wi-Fi Doppler effect to measure that you're moving in a car. And when you finish that first drive, we're going to suggest, hey, how about we activate Do Not Disturb while driving? And when we do, instead of seeing all those notifications, we have this new user interface for you.
So that's a blank screen for everyone that's on audio, which...
Now,
I agree with getting rid of notifications, totally.
Turn on your phone, you're actually going to receive this. Little reminder that you're not receiving notifications while you're driving. But of course, you might be sitting in the back seat, in which case you can tell us, I'm not driving, you can get through. But what if you are driving and someone sends you a message? Well, they can now get an automatic response saying, I'll see your message when I get where
I like
I'm going.
That.
And
I like that.
I like that as an option. That's good.
To break through.
Yeah. Are you still getting calls through, though?
You know, the peace of mind that you can get contact.
Yes, he's saying get breakthrough.
Urgent,
yeah.
That message
just the notifications.
Through. We think this is going to be a real important step in safety in the car.
Yeah, I go with that. I think that's good.
Yeah.
They need a CarPlay interface they need to
Next
change
up,
the interface
HomeKit. So HomeKit.
Not for when you're driving as in like fast, but for when you pulled up at a junction, you need to be able to specify just a screen that's like, here's my massive icons for just turning on.
And also, of course, use your voice with Siri.
Music, making a call.
Almost all the major accessories.
No reason they couldn't put the CarPlay interface on your iPhone.
Exactly.
Security cameras and
or how about using a secondary iPad?
It becomes incredibly simple.
Really close to our heart that we wanted to add to HomeKit. and that's speakers. So, you'll now be able to configure your speakers inside of HomeKit.
I've always felt that the new current HomeMap is, protocol. I mean, it's a
it
giant
builds
waste of space.
Multi-room audio in throughout iOS.
It is.
So what speakers are these things? That is this only Sonos, or is this going to be all
Bluetooth speakers? You can play music to select speakers throughout your home, right from the music app. And with Apple Music, we have a new feature called Share It Up Next. So if you have a friend over and you have a playlist going,
if that's a Bluetooth intelligence
to
existing Bluetooth speakers, that's just killed Sonos dead in the water.
All compile into that party playlist.
Because people can buy cheaper speakers.
All these speaker makers have announced upcoming support for AirPlay 2. But of course, many of us already own a great AirPlay 2 compatible speaker, and those are the ones connected to our Apple TV. Because now your Apple TV can be played to from your iPhone or iOS device and Mac anywhere in the home. And of course, if you turn on your Apple TV, it can control playback home-wide, including using Siri. And we'll provide a great developer API, so third-party audio apps and iOS can all get in on the multi-room audio fun.
AirPlay 2
is Apple Music.
Now, Rogue Amoeba will be happy there's an API.
We introduced an all-new design for Apple Music, which brought greater
clarity and
simplicity to the
Apple Music experience. I just think the effect on Sonos there is massive,
because
all of those speakers are significantly cheaper than Sonos.
We now have 27 million
customers
who are
really
enjoying the
curation. It's either going to cause a tumbling in Sonos prices, or Sonos are going to go out of business.
Of Apple Music.
Or they better support it.
Discover Music is to ask one of
they're not on that list, then.
No, they're not on that list, but they might have to seriously think about putting themselves on that list.
Well, no, I don't think they will, because they can already do what that thing is now doing. That's the point.
All the music
what if I want to combine third-party speakers with my Sonos speakers because I don't want to pay for their high-end stuff in my extra rooms or outdoor?
That's exactly my point.
That's what he's saying.
They already have a partnership with Apple. I mean, I think as far as I know, they are the only third party that has Apple Music in.
Yeah, that relationship's just changed a fraction, I would say.
I get that, you know, what I'm saying is they can either, I have Sonos and I love them, and maybe I want to mix and match, and if they don't want to give me that option, I may just abandon them. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, they can either play, or they, like you're saying, they can just get left behind.
And but they're not, I mean, to this day, they don't support collection that it
identifies. Correct.
Patrick missed exactly the speaker announcement, but I'm not going back over it. Mike said, I missed that. Was Sonos mentioned? No, they weren't. And they weren't on that list of developers that are supporting AirPlay 2. So
I'd like to hand
they've got some serious problems now.
Thank you.
App Store.
Thank you, Craig.
Someone's bottom has some wind at Sonos.
Let's hear it from the way back of the room. Come on, good morning, everyone.
Is this five or is this six?
Yes.
Five, I think.
He was at last.
I am so excited to be able to talk to you this morning about the App Store. The App Store is turning 9 years old.
Mike's made
the
point. Sonos has got too much invested to be able to change. That could be the end of them. There could be dinosaurs, yeah.
Weekly
it's software, though. AirPlay is software.
Your amazing apps. Yeah. And to download them. They've now downloaded over 180 billion.
They position themselves in the market as a high-end.
That does not include auto re-downloads.
I mean, incredibly pricey speakers that did something that nothing else did.
Just recently
everything else will do it, and they're incredibly expensive speakers that are too expensive when you've got Bose on that list who are going to make speakers that are at least as good and half the price, and still pricey.
Right.
Apps are incredible.
They're screwed unless, I mean, they've either got to tumble the price of their speakers, or they've got to provide something completely different, which...
I think the Bose speakers are more...
Pokemon Go is from Niantic. It was one of the big hits last year.
If you look at pound for pound what a Bose speaker will give you in comparison, you look at the Sound 3. I mean, that's
the best app platform in the world.
Was it the Soundtrack 3 that I've got? That's not anywhere near the same kind of price.
Thank you for the incredible apps you make that we and our customers all love. It's not by chance that the App Store has become such a great place. From the beginning,
Ian has pointed out that Phil is clearly closing his rings because he's lost a lot of weight.
Safe place for users,
and
to make it a great opportunity for
all
developers.
I don't think it's fair to call him Fatty Phil anymore.
We continue to work really hard at that. Over the last year, the team's done a lot of great things to make the App Store an even better store for all of us. There's many things we can talk about, but I think one stands head and shoulders above the rest.
Sonos Play 1 and the SoundLink 3 are about the same price.
I'm sure you're well aware that the majority of apps are all now reviewed in under 24 hours, many in just 1 to 2 hours. The team is going to keep working hard at that. And we have a lot more coming for the remainder of the year. I've highlighted a bunch of things here. I'll just point out one of them. You can read some of your favorite things up there. A big request from developers is called phased releases. That when you woo for phased releases, come on. Phased releases means when you submit an app, you can choose if you want it to be phased over time so it doesn't hit your infrastructure all at once, and you can see how customers are responding to that update. So it's really a great feature for you to take advantage of. And there are a lot of things coming this year, but there is one that is incredibly gigantic. And that is, we're going to do something that we've never done before in the 9 years of the App Store. We're going to completely redesign it. A brand new App Store.
Really?
It is absolutely.
It's got a new radical feature, being able to find things.
Why? I was hoping he was going to say trials and upgrades.
Called today.
Nope.
Now, do you remember back the first time?
It said extended free trials and all of that word mess.
And it was so much fun to go in every single day and discover the new apps that were appearing. I mean, that's an amazing feeling. And we're bringing that back again with this brand new tab called Today, a whole new way to discover apps. It's a place where we can feature
the music
we all
app.
Love and the stories about the developers who created them. It's going to be such a great place for customers to discover your apps every single day. There's another new tab, games. Games, the biggest area of the App Store, has its own dedicated space now. So for all of us who love gaming and finding the best feature games of the day.
I don't know, this looks almost worse for discovery to me.
To go to experience all that's happening with games. And not only can we feature games, but for the first time in the App Store, we can feature in-app purchases as well. A big part of your business is now there in the App Store, so the next time you have a brand new level, you have a brand new character,
machine learning for that,
right,
so that
in the App
it recommends
click on them and start the process to get them right
for
away.
Apps you already have.
And since games have their own tab, now apps have their own tab. This is everything that we love about apps besides games, with dedicated features and charts all there for customers to enjoy.
So this is the other category.
And every app and every game, of course, has its own product page in the store. These are more beautiful than ever, more engaging with incredible videos. You're going to love all the features on your product pages. And there's sessions here at WWDC to learn how to take advantage of all those great new app page features. But these are just some of the new things in the all-new App Store. The new Today tab, new Games tab, new Apps tab. And would love to show it to you live for the very first time. So please welcome Ann Tai, Product Marketing Manager for the App Store, to the stage. Ann?
That sounded so weird. It sounded like he said anti-product.
I'm so excited to show you the new App Store. So let's get to it. I'm going to open the store, and I land right here on the Today tab, the new front of the App Store that updates every day. The first thing I see is our top story. The world premiere of Monument Valley 2 is finally here. Let's check it out by tapping on the card. This opens a story.
So Batwitch has got to be happy because it's not just another woman on stage. It's a first ever pregnant woman on stage.
It's going to be even more beautiful.
Congratulations.
I can watch videos that show me what the gameplay is like. And here's a cool quote from Dan Gray at Us Two Games about what inspired them. I can share the story with
you. Is that really out today?
And what's incredible is that we can actually all download this today, only on the App Store.
Today. Brian would be pestering for that with their own pocket money this week.
Let's see what else is happening today. What have we got here? Oh, here's a how-to guide about VSCO. I use this app all the time. Let's check it out. This is packed full of useful tips. So even if you have an app already, you still might learn something new. Like, I didn't know you could use it to make animated GIFs or GIFs. Anyway, you can make them.
It's a GIF.
I just scroll back up and pull down on the card, and I'm back in the feed. Every day, there's a new app of the day, and a new game of the day, and the daily list. These are great because they're focused on a theme or a goal, like meditation. I've actually been trying some of these out to get ready for this, and it's totally working. If I'm busy and miss a day, I can scroll down and see stories from earlier in the week. So that's the Today tab.
Patrick Quirk says her hair is so shiny. That's what happens, my extra melatonin.
Now I can go to the New Games tab. This is huge. Let's check it out. Up at the top, I can see the biggest new releases or just what the game editors are playing this week. If I scroll down, I can watch a whole bunch of game videos. And it's not just previews, but also tips and gameplay videos by editors, too. If I scroll down, I can see charts that only feature games, so it's really easy to see what the most popular games are separate from apps. And now I can browse by game categories, too. This page is just packed full of recommendations. This artsy game looks fun. Let's check it out. I'm going to tap on the icon, and it opens up a redesigned app page. It's more beautiful and more useful. I can watch more videos that show me how fun this is.
And Twitter Critters, one of my picks.
It is.
It was named Editor's Choice.
Great game.
If I scroll down, I can see ratings and reviews front and center, so I can see what other customers think before making a choice. Like this review. It tells me this game is great for killing time. Thanks, curious potato face.
It is making it easier to see information that's fairly transparent at the moment already anyway. And it's not helping with finding things. It's only helping them promote specific things they want to promote.
As the games tab, but with a focus just on apps.
Yeah, I mean, they still have, across the board, they still have a discovery problem that's not being addressed.
This feels more elitist.
Beautiful new place than the current system. Apps and games we love with you.
Again, sort of, yeah, like Priest mentioned.
I just need them to, I would prefer them most definitely to provide a system that was more intuitive as to what I pick for what it promotes rather than
right, well, if it's customized with AI on the back end, then it may be more useful, right? If it's learning the kinds of things that you're buying and liking.
Yeah, but I'm not getting that message.
Thank you, Phil.
No, I'm not either, but that would be the key part. Fantastic.
So those are some of the big features in iOS 11, but of course, also core technologies.
Yeah, it's true, Patrick. They are showing developers how to promote their apps.
Coming to iOS as well.
There would be, you know, if they told developers that there was a
with machine learning,
an intuitive learning process as well.
The marketing element
would come up. The experiences on Apple Watch, for instance, and the predictive Siri watch face. We use it on the iPad for palm rejection when you're writing with Apple Pencil. Of course, we use it to extend your battery life by predicting how you're going to use your device. And you've seen it throughout photos with memories and face recognition. Well, now for all of you developers, we want to make powerful machine learning easy for you to incorporate in your apps. And we're doing it via a set of new APIs. Starts with the Vision API, which provides face tracking, face detection,
taking a page out of the book of Amazon and Google
inside of our apps.
APIs.
And the natural language API that provides capabilities like tokenization and named entity recognition. Now, these are all built on Core ML. And Core ML provides high performance implementations of deep neural networks, recurrent neural networks, convolutional neural networks, support vector machines. And they allow you to take models that you've built with any of these popular third-party tools and using our machine learning model converter, execute them with tremendous performance on device. It gives you all the data privacy benefits and all of the carefully tuned compatibility with all of our platforms. And the performance really is incredible. You look at this benchmark, it's called Inception V3. It's a popular photo recognition benchmark.
This might actually be a game changer for iOS apps.
iPhone is 6 times faster than Google Pixel and the Samsung S8.
Jim's happy using Core ML. Craig said 6 times, not 6x.
Next, I'd like to turn to AR. Now, with multi-touch, we've really changed the way that you interact with the world.
No, you haven't.
On the screen of your iPhone.
You haven't done anywhere near enough with
that. With the camera, we've allowed you to capture the world around you. But when you bring these things together, the results can actually be quite profound. Now, it's called augmented reality, and we have a new core technology called ARKit to bring it to all of you. And I'd like to show it to you in a demo now. So we've all seen a lot of carefully edited vision videos on this topic recently. But in this case, I'd like to show you something for real. So what we see here is an iPhone that's using its camera, but using computer vision, it's actually able to identify surfaces such as this table, and I can actually just add an object. This is a developer application, a test application that you'll all be getting code for that allows you to do these things.
That's
now,
cool.
This is just a virtual object on this table. Now, got some steam in there coming off the cup. Now I can add
There's
other objects
be
to the scene,
some
and these
wicked
things can
games
actually
coming out
interact.
With this
Let's
as
add a lamp. And yeah. I want you to watch when I turn the lamp up on the dynamic shadows here. I'm going to move the cup and watch how the shadow moves in relationship to the light.
That's pretty good.
Here, it's really pretty incredible.
Whoa, that's great.
I can add additional objects. Let's add a vase to this scene. I mean, isn't that just incredible? You guys are actually in the shot here with these objects all in augmented reality. So it gives you a little bit of an idea of the technology involved. It's really pretty incredible. Now, how do we do it? Well, ARKit provides fast and stable motion tracking, and it uses all of the sensors and the camera on your device to do this. It actually finds planes like floors and tables. It's able to estimate ambient light, which helps us with the rendering, and also helps with scale. You notice that cup hit the table looking the size of a cup, not the size of an elephant. And we provide integration into all
point.
Kinds of third-party frameworks to help you with your rendering. The implementation
Actually,
is possible
I thought it was a little
because
small.
We're able to take advantage of the awesome hardware in iOS devices,
like
cameras,
said.
The high-performance CPU and GPU, and the motion sensors. And when you bring the software together with these devices, we actually have hundreds and of millions of iPhones and iPads that are going to be capable of AR. And in fact, that's going to make overnight ARKit the largest AR platform in the world.
Wow. So ARKit is a thing then that's going to go out to developers for that process.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. We've had some
They'll be able to integrate that
take a look
that more
really
easily into their
massive
apps.
Massive change in the next 6 months.
Totally excited, and we are just blown away by what they've been able to accomplish.
I predict that all of the symposiums
IKEA,
for this are
going to
be oversubscribed massively.
IKEA, of course, is placing furniture everywhere, and it's really super awesome. But check this out. What you can do with Batman Lego. I mean, how fun is this? Right on the table, a Lego with a live Lego, Batman, and you can explode the Lego like you could never do in the real world, pan around it, and interact with Batman right there. It's really awesome. And then Pokemon Go. Well, we've all seen it before, but check it out with ARKit.
Gun-mounted iPhones.
It's so real. It's right there on the ground. As the ball bounces, it actually bounces right there in the real environment. It's AR like you've never seen it before.
God, he's crap.
Now, there's one of these that I think you just really need to see live. Now, Wingnut AR is director Peter Jackson's new production company. It's dedicated to producing AR content. We all know Peter Jackson from his incredible cinematic work on movies like the Lord of the Rings series. But he's now really excited about AR. And to show you what he has in the works, I'm thrilled to introduce Wingnut AR's creative director, Alistair Cool. Alistair.
Thanks, Craig. We're really excited to share an exclusive sneak peek at something we've been working on. With ARKit, you don't need any special equipment or tracking markers. It just works. Dan's here with me from Wingnut AR, so let's take a look. Here we're using ARKit to detect the plane on the table, estimate its size, and lock our content onto the surface. And since this is augmented reality, you folks are all in the shot too. This is all rendered in real time using the power of Unreal Engine 4. We're at a remote outpost in a desolate world where supplies are scarce. Airships come here to refuel, get repairs, and to trade. These are our townsfolk. They're expecting some visitors soon, so they're all starting to get ready for their arrival.
He desperately wants to be Irish, doesn't he?
Except for this guy down here, apparently. Who hired him?
Except he's Canadian. Or not. That accent is really messed up.
That's our airships arriving now. And what's really cool here is that with ARKit's tracking,
it's our airships
you can really
close
to choose how to view the action. It's like you're the director of your own experience.
It's a Saskatchewan or something.
Looks like some raiders are attacking.
Hey,
All right, well visually this is cool,
but it's not
right.
Guess
that
takes care of that guy.
It's, I mean, I guess he jumps off the table. I mean, it's visually cool, but I mean, what's the,
wouldn't it be cool,
what's the application? Like, can I reach in and like grab the guns and rotate them and fire them, and you know what I mean? Like,
you'd have to switch views from to being on the table to shoot out, which you can already kind of do, but imagine watching a movie though. If he says Peter Jackson's doing this, that means at some point there might be a live action movie that's made like this that you can watch.
With The Hobbit.
I mean, what's the advantage? Well, like, what is it? What is it adding to the experience?
3D. You walk around. You get a movie that you can watch that's got a story and a plot line that you can zoom in and out on the characters, and you walk around your own table, and that's the theatre of it. That's amazing. You could do an entire play.
I get that it's technologically amazing.
No, but it enhances the viewing experience, surely.
Yeah. I mean, you could even watch it with multiple iPads and stuff like that.
Imagine a museum in that way, says Patrick. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Be good for the kids.
That's a proof of concept right there, but I'm already taking it off somewhere. These guys are going to make it fly.
So those are some of the major features in iOS 11. Of course, there's much more than we have time to talk about today, but I want to highlight some features of special interest to our customers
reader mode.
In China, like QR code support integrated right into the main camera, accessible from the lock screen. Super useful for customers in China. So that's our update for iOS 11. I'm going to turn it back to Tim. Thank you.
That means it's the end.
I think that was 6, though, right? That was all 6?
5, I think.
iOS 11 is absolutely jam-packed with great features, and I can't wait for you to get your hands on the new App Store and...
Oh, that was still all under iOS 11.
Number 5.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, it's...
Yeah.
4.
An important part of the iOS story is, of course, iPad.
Yay.
Wow.
iPad has completely changed the way we work, play, teach, learn, and create. It's truly a magical piece of glass that transforms into anything you want. We've been pushing the boundaries on iPad, and today we're going to push them further than ever before. And to tell you all about it, I'd like to invite up Jaws.
Can we get an iPad OS? Jaws?
Confirm no Apple Pay for Germany, says Ian.
Thank you, Tim, and good morning, everybody. I'm so excited to talk to you today about iPad Pro. When we first introduced iPad Pro just 18 months ago, it completely redefined what you could do with your iPad. Along with your incredible apps, it allowed our users to do really amazing things. From professional design and illustration to fashion to architecture,
this is Jaws.
So much more.
Jaws Weak.
We're really excited about what can be real in your world today with iPad Pro. Well, and as you know, there's two models of iPad
Pro. They call him Jaws.
The only Jaws is Ron Jaworski. What the hell?
9.7 inch is our most popular model.
Joss Whedon?
It has a screen large enough to get your work done. But it's in a thin
Joss Whedon doesn't play football. He'd never get Jaws.
Ian's saying that iOS 11 demo had nothing for iPad. The guy was doing that whole last demo on an iPad, you muppet.
The 9.7 inch.
He most definitely was.
Do pay attention, Pike.
This is a new iPad Pro.
New iPad Pro.
Looks just like
10.5 inch. No bezel.
A larger 10.5 inch Retina display. Now, why 10.5 inch? Well, for one, it's a lot larger. It's 20% larger than a 9.7 inch. But we are able to reduce the borders by nearly 40%, which allows us to fit it in this incredibly compact design that still weighs just 1 pound.
I like my 11 inch, me 12-point inch iPad. It's brilliant.
Inch also allows us to do some
other love
things.
Mine, too.
It's the perfect
I used it today in a meeting, and I sat there like a big sheet
a
of A4 paper making notes.
Keyboard.
My boss is using it all day,
it's
basically,
also the perfect
now.
Size
and
for
I want, main computer.
And I want a new big one so that I can buy a new big one for myself and give my old big one to my mom and dad and get rid of their crappy computer.
Yeah, me too. I want a big one as well.
And for the very first time, a Japanese AIS keyboard.
I was born this way.
There you go, Doc.
Now, iPad Pro has always had the best displays in the industry.
Japanese smart keyboard.
Both sizes are going to get really
incredible new
displays.
There was a touchpad suggestion, wasn't there, on the keyboard?
They're the best displays that we've ever made. They're packed with incredible features like True Tone for automatic white balance.
We know this.
P3 wide color gamut for the best color. Ultra-low reflectivity, the best in the industry. And they're 50% brighter with 600 nits. And this extra brightness and the P3 wide color gamut means that with iOS 11, you'll be able to display HDR video for the first time on an iPad for a really immersive cinematic experience. They're truly awesome displays. But our biggest breakthrough is a feature we call ProMotion. So what is ProMotion? Well, we were able to take our unique hardware and software capabilities and dramatically improve our display performance. Now, typically, up until today, mobile displays have refreshed at 60 hertz, means they update their content 60 times every second. Well, on the new iPad Pro, we've doubled that maximum refresh rate to an incredible 120 hertz.
But you can't, you don't notice a smoother
scroll. All of your motion content on your screen is going to be smoother.
Well, I think everything over 100 hertz is probably...
Now, this is something you have to really touch and feel yourself
under
to appreciate because our projection system...
Yeah, usually 100
hertz. I thought you said under turds.
No, not
under turds. Big steamers.
It's buttery smooth. Now, the higher refresh rate also means that it works even better with the Apple Pencil. We already have the industry-leading performance for drawing and writing with the Apple Pencil, but with ProMotion, it gets even better. It's more responsive, and it reduces our latency to an industry-best 20 milliseconds.
That's true, because the Apple Pencil, I think, supported that refresh rate when it was announced. They just didn't have displays that could go that fast.
The new iPad Pro. Another breakthrough of ProMotion is that these become the first mobile displays to be able to dynamically adjust the refresh rate, depending on what you're looking at. And this is a really big breakthrough for both display quality as well as for power savings. So when you have fast-moving content, they can update quickly. But they can also
update slower when you don't need
that type of refresh rate. For example, a still image. This allows us to save a lot of energy and give you better battery life. So hopefully you see why these are not just the best displays that we've ever made, but we think they're the most advanced displays on the planet. Next, let's talk about performance. iPad is already best in class for performance, but we're not resting on our laurels. These are the fastest we've ever created. Inside them, they're powered by the A10X Fusion chip. The A10X has a 6-core CPU, 3 high-performance cores, 3 high-efficiency cores, all automatically managed by the Apple Performance Controller. It also has a 12-core GPU. This is a powerhouse. And it delivers 30% faster CPU performance over our already industry-leading A9X and 40% faster graphics performance. Our chip team has done just an amazing job over the years with the performance improvements, and the results have been staggering. They're delivering an industry-leading graphics performance that's more than 500 times the original iPad from just a few years ago. But of course, numbers only tell part of the story. To demonstrate the real-world performance of the A10X and the new iPad Pro, I'd like to invite Ash Hewson of Serif to give you a demo of their new Pro photo editing app called Affinity Photo. Ash?
They're going to go long.
Thanks, Jules.
They started late.
Yeah, but I think even longer than the 15-minute late start. Photo.
This is a truly high-end professional photo editing tool.
Well, remember, number one was really short.
Pro, we can achieve levels of performance which are simply unattainable on any other device. And I'm going to try and show you that today by creating a movie poster. I've already set up a few layers. I've kind of got this great background, some stormy sky. I've got a turbulent sea and this ship. Now, the first thing you'll notice when you're using this is that as you're kind of moving layers around, rotating them, or even just sort of panning and zooming around your work, I'm seeing all of this now at 120 frames a second, so it just feels incredibly smooth. But when you come to edit layers, because of metal, we can achieve performance more than 4 times an i7 quad-core desktop PC. And I'll show you what that means. On this C, I'm going to apply a 12 filter. And look, just with my finger, I can kind of push this sea around. I can even just like flick a wave right over the side of the ship. It's a totally new way to kind of interact with your designs. And actually, everything is this fast. So let's say I wanted to set this ship on fire, for example. I've got this fireball here. I can move this over the back of the ship. But to make that look more realistic, I need to apply blend mode. Now, normally blend modes are something that takes a lot of trial and error. But now, look at this. I can just scrub down
here. It's got an alpha channel on it.
And I get an instant preview of all of the different blend modes. So it makes it really, really easy to select the right blend mode that I want. Now, of course, everything I've done so far, I've done using touch. But with iPad Pro, we have the best stylus that's ever been made. And we can do some great stuff with Apple Pencil too. A really good example of that is our lighting filter. So here I choose lighting. I'll make that a bit bigger. And look, I can actually control now the angle and the tilt of that light using Apple Pencil. And there's no latency whatsoever. So it's a really immersive way to work. Now, I said at the start I was creating a movie poster. And in fact, what I'm actually doing is creating a pirate movie poster. So now I need a pirate. And I've got Captain Jack Sparrow here. But at the moment, of course, he's on the wrong background. So what I need to do is cut him out. And I'm going to use some selection tools to do that. So to start with, I'm just going to do, and you can see
to
how quick it is.
The new Pirates of the
really
Caribbean
quick
ship
selection
movie.
With pencil to sort of snap around the edges.
Can you put a shark in there so it can jump it?
What happens is you need to do a much more accurate selection around hair. And to
can
do
you
that
put a shark in there that eats Jack Sparrow?
This is something that takes a huge amount of CPU power. But on this latest iPad, it's twice as fast as ever before. And you can see pretty much instantly I get a selection down to individual strands of hair. And that's it. That's my poster complete. A professional looking poster created on a design, on a device that I can hold in my hands. It's really incredible. I really think that iPad Pro alongside Affinity Photo is a truly game-changing experience for professional photo editing. And the best thing of all is that you can now experience it now, because I'm delighted to announce that Affinity Photo for iPad is available on the App Store from today. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Ash. That's amazing performance. Again, especially for a device that's so thin and light in a simple one-pound package you can take with you everywhere you go. And what's also cool is despite all this performance, the new iPad Pro still delivers the same all-day 10-hour battery life that our iPad users love.
As designed.
Next, let's talk about cameras. The new iPad Pro features the latest camera system from our iPhone 7. That means the same high-performance 12-megapixel sensor with optical image stabilization. And it has the ability to even capture and, of course, edit 4K video on the go. They're absolutely fantastic cameras. The front-facing cameras from the iPhone 7 as well, with all of its great features, like wide color gamut capture, auto image stabilization, and the entire display can light up to become the world's brightest and largest retina flash. We have great accessories as well. The iPad Pro supports USB 3, which means that you're going to get faster transfers with your USB and SD camera adapters. And this also, we also support fast charging, means any of our USB-C charge adapters will now allow you to charge at half the time. And we have great new smart covers. We have available in polyurethane, and then we're bringing back the popular leather as well. And then we've designed an all-new leather sleeve with a built-in storage for your Apple Pencil. So that's the new iPad Pro family, a lineup with the world's most advanced displays, including a brand new 10.5-inch size and incredibly compact design, powerful new A10X Fusion chip, incredible new cameras, and of course, as you would expect, we make all these in incredibly environmentally friendly ways. We're also going to double the amount of memory that comes at the beginning of these configurations. Both models will now start with 64 gigabytes of memory.
Cool. So that should reduce the price of the 256
to 1 tonight. And a 10.5 inch with 64 gigs will now be at $649, and it's just $150 more to move up to the bigger display at $799. We're also going to have configurations in 256 and 512 gigabytes, half a terabyte of storage in an iPad. And as always, you can get any of these models with LTE as well.
So, they're skipping 128.
So this is the new iPad Pro.
It's going to come in at about £1,000.
They'll start shipping next week.
That's the top of the line now.
Just because they're shipping now, they're going to ship with iOS 10, but you'll be able to easily update to iOS 11 as a free update this fall. But you haven't heard the full iOS 11 story yet as it relates to iPad. So I'd like to invite Craig back to the stage to tell you about some incredible iPad features coming in iOS 11. Thank you.
About them time.
Hey, everybody.
Yes, there is more iOS 11. If you love iPad like I do, well, buckle up. You're in for a wild ride. We are taking iOS to the next level. This is the largest iOS release for iPad we've ever done.
Now, yeah, but 64 gig is puny, says Ian in the chat room, but 64 is a better starting point for a large device.
It is more powerful than ever.
I mean,
you can fill it with apps.
iPad was 64 gig.
On the right,
32
there's a predictive
gig
area
that was pick it
figures
up
out
me.
What you're going to use next, including your continuity apps. And now you can summon the dock from anywhere, right from the bottom of the screen, and use it for switching apps just like that. And what's incredible is how it's used for multitasking. So now if you're in an app, and you swipe up,
so there's a proper dock.
An app out, just like that, into Slido.
Thank you. Yes.
Now, of course, you can snap your apps into split view, but what's really cool is the new app switcher, because it preserves all of your spaces with your app pairings. It's
that
really
is great.
Now, the iPad, of course, is the ultimate multi-handed, multi-touch device. And so we're so excited to bring drag and drop to iPad.
Like they just invented drag and drop.
You can drag images. You can drag text. You can drag URLs. You can multi-select and multi-hand drag. It's a drag fest.
I mean, Riddle just released their app.
It's incredibly productive. But of course, sometimes you have to type, and so we've made the keyboard even more productive as well. You can now flick on keys to access punctuation and numbers, all without switching planes. It's super fast and super easy.
Affinity Photo is now in iTunes Store, and it's 20 quid.
Not bad.
We have a new app to introduce to you today, and it's called Files.
Said as if you invented file management.
Invented the Finder.
Files brings together all your files on your iPad. It supports everything you'd expect. Nested
folders, you mean like
spring
documents?
Load, list view, favorites,
app search, that I have now?
Tags.
Yeah.
And it has this beautiful recents view that pulls it all together across all of your sources. Because it supports not only iCloud, it also supports third-party storage providers like Box, Dropbox, OneDrive, and Google Drive.
Just like documents
and they're all right
from Riddle.
In your sidebar.
Maybe they
You know what?
Documents.
Let's do a demo.
Nope. I think they just got
Take
Sherlock.
First look at iOS 11 on iPad. So here we have our new dock at the bottom. Now I can easily drag right into the dock, just like this. It's a great way to launch apps.
More
as
icons
always.
There.
But now it's also a great way to switch apps. Just
I mean,
the old
dock was a giant waste of space anyway.
If I want to.
Hoi, what are you saying?
Check this out.
Oh, Jesus, Doc.
Drag it out. It's right there. Now I can slide it off the screen. I can now slide it over here.
I like the fact that's not blocking off.
Live.
I like the fact that it's not blocking off one screen,
like,
and then you can go to a split view if you
want. Check out the new app switcher. I'm just going to swipe up from the bottom and keep swiping. It goes back like that. Let's do that again. That is so great. It's that easy.
And control center right
See what he did there?
Now
no one went woo.
My space
so
is
he said, right, let's look
so
at that again until
left,
you go woo. And he'd have done it a third time as
split
well, wouldn't
he? I can just tap those open like this.
Come on, you bastard,
let's
say
try
woo.
Some drag and drop. So I'm going to drag a URL from the top of Safari here right into this mail message. Drag it and drop it. Now I can drag it. Yep. Let's drag an image. Yep, just like that. Now, I want to focus just on mail because I'm going to show you dragging across spaces. So let's go into photos.
I just posted on Dennis's wall if he sold them documents or they just copied the whole thing.
Drone protection options for the new campus. So I'm going to start a drag, but watch this. With my other hand, I'm going to tap. I can
drone
add
protection
to this selection
options.
Just like that. And I can even swipe up with my other hand into multitasking.
That's funny.
Move over to mail and drop.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's great.
Now I want to show you files. I can bring up files, of course, right from the dock in split view, just like this. And it's a great way to deal with attachments, because I can take this attachment and this mail message, pick it up, and just drop it right into this folder of top secret projects. Now let's dive all the way in and take a closer look at the Files app. We see it has this...
is there a folder that says Apple Car?
It also has a list view that provides me all the details
about
my files.
Someone's going to go through that with a fine-tooth.
I can sort them by size, or let's sort by date.
Eventually,
I can create new folders. Let's say I want to create an R&D folder right here. I'm going to take some of my top secret perspective projects, and I can do multi-select just like this, drop them in. Now I can also take the folder, drag it right in to my favorites, and these are synced across all of my devices. And if I want to tag a file, of course I just drag it right on there and make that one important. And you notice in addition to iCloud, here on the left, I've accessed
There's
all my cloud
here,
providers
assuming
like
that
Box.
Third-party apps can
so
access
I have files
here
I'm using that, and folders that I'm using for collaboration.
If they're doing it at
that
the developers conference, you would have thought
it
was an API
proposal
to allow that.
Right here.
I would assume it already works through the document. As long as the app is supporting Apple's built-in document
including that
selector thing.
Yeah, the document picker is supported
for my final app.
So I'm guessing this will it's just a replacement.
But you don't want an app to have its access to your files.
Access to my
That's what I'm saying.
Assets,
so it's
I can just
There's got to be an authorization process, or it can only set up its own file storage. It can't interact with yours without you dragging in. You don't want a default access for an app to be able to go and look at your file structure.
Apple Pencil, because Apple Pencil.
You have to understand how it works currently.
A whole new way of working on iPad.
Well,
with iOS 11,
currently it doesn't have access to all your files, but
now,
if you open it, you
can
select the files, and those files get them permission, or the app gets permission to those files.
A continuous scrolling
right.
And I'm guessing it's the same thing
mark
here.
Up. And you can actually do this with any app
Plus,
that supports
you can have
printing,
your own folder
because we have a create
app,
PDF
already
option.
How iCloud
it'll create
it.
A markup PDF.
Right.
It's a really great way to mark up anything and share it. And we know a lot of people do like to share with screenshots. And so now, when you take a screenshot, we'll create a thumbnail down in the bottom of the screen. If you tap it, you go instantly into markup.
And they're overrunning.
You can mark it up right there and share it. Now, we've all... It's really cool.
That'd have made it if it wasn't for the clamping.
We've also integrated Pencil deeply
I'm going to use
into
that.
Notes. So if you're working on a note and later you're at the lock screen, you want to get back, just a tap of the Pencil to the lock screen and you're right back into your note. And we've made your note, handwritten text, searchable. So we can now search handwriting. We use deep learning to recognize what you write. And if you're doing primarily typed notes, you can now also do inline drawings right there.
I always worry about it when it says that because my handwriting ain't getting recognized by me.
Now, of course, sometimes we still have to deal with paper. So Notes now has a built-in document scanner. It can correct perspective and contrast. And when you bring the note in, you can mark it up right with your pencil.
Another couple
and
of apps, Sherlock.
We've integrated markup into Mail as well, so you can personalize your Mail messages with inline drawings. Now, for a look at all of these great new pencil features, I'd like to introduce the man who heads iPad software engineering for us, Toby
This
Patterson
is looking like no Siri speaker.
Well, number six is still coming up, right?
Well, the first thing I want to show you is a quick
way
of getting to your notes.
5A or is this 6?
This is still 5.
You just tap on the lock screen like this, and it slides up to reveal your notes beneath it. Now, you can see here I've got a handwritten
It's a really handy shortcut when you're somewhere sitting in a meeting and you want just to you just want to take
notes.
What's
at the top of the note here is I edit the title just by putting the pencil down and writing like this after the 2017 keynote. It's as natural as putting pencil to paper. Now, something paper can't help you with is finding your notes again later. We're using machine learning to recognize your handwriting and index it in Spotlight. Let's switch into Spotlight now, and we'll search for that text that I just wrote out. You can see here I've got the new Flick keyboard.
His handwriting's
really
pretty shit, as has been identified in the chat room, so if it finds this, it should be pretty good. It's better than Siri at recognition.
And you can see there it's already found my
notes. I wonder how this affects the old iPad.
My atrocious handwriting. We'll just tap on that, and we're back at the note.
Yeah, because your handwriting is shit. I go with Muller on that one, so that is very impressive.
I'm going to switch to a different note now, because I want to show you how you can mix drawing with type text and tables and all of Notes' other great features. This is a note that my young daughter shared with me as part of a school assignment where she had to work with her parents to develop an idea for a new app. Now, she asked me how many copies of our app I thought I might sell, we might sell, and so I want to quickly draw a graph to give her some idea of that. I'm just going to press down here with the pencil to make some space for my drawing, and we can take that little grabber and open up some more room. Now, I am really bad at drawing, but I just love doing it. And what's great about drawing on the iPad is it works the same way as it does with paper. And that means it's really easy for me to draw really badly right here. Watch, I'm just gonna put the pencil down and just like that, zoop. It's so simple and I think you're gonna have a lot of fun rediscovering
this. This is going on so long, I'm gonna have a whiskey.
But let's move on now. So my daughter's learned a few things from me about how
if I did that, that'd be bad because it's 9 a.m.
She gave me an NDA to sign.
Well, it's always 5 p.m. somewhere.
Cheers, Apple. Good keynote so far. Very impressed.
Yep.
We'll just tap. Look at the size of that thing. That looks great.
Scanner, I could pour a bigger one if you want.
Just point the camera. Piece of paper. Notes will take the picture automatically.
I meant the iPad. But, yeah.
The page okay. Sorry, man.
We'll open it up full screen here, and now I just fill in the blanks with my pencil. And just like that, I've got a signed copy of the NDA saved away in my notes. Now, I see my daughter sent me a message, and it must be pretty important if she's interrupting my demo. So if you'll excuse me, I'm just going to tap on that and see what she has
that
to say.
That was shit. That was wow, shit link number 54.
Wow, an offer for $100 million is really pretty thrilling. I need to send this to my wife
right away. It
was
such a shit link that Bronwyn's left the chat room.
I'm going to take a screenshot of this, and then we'll tap on the thumbnail here to open up our new screenshot editing UI. From here, I can crop it down to just the part of the image that I want to send. I can scribble a quick note with my pencil. And then I can bring up the share sheet to send it off to my wife right away. So these are just a few of the ways that you can use your pencil with your iPad in iOS 11. Back to you now, Craig. Thank you.
Tom's extended breakfast
is
finished.
When your grade school child gets $100 million of funding, they do grow up so fast these days. Well, so these are some of the great new features for the iPad. And of course, they're joined by all of these other features you heard from earlier today. We're really excited about what we're doing with iPad this year and really excited about iOS 11. Now, iOS 11 is available to all of you developers today. And if you sign up at beta.apple.com, you can get a beta at the end of the month. And we're making it available as a free upgrade to everyone in the fall. It supports all of these devices. That is your update for iOS 11. I'm going to turn it back over to Tim. Thank you.
That's right. What was the supported device list? I didn't see that.
iOS
that go
11
up.
Really takes iPad so to
we
a
didn't see
whole
it.
New level. People are going to be able to do more in more places than ever before. We are so excited about the marriage of iOS 11 and the new iPad Pro that we made a video, and I'd love to run it for you.
Is this number 6?
They're not worried about running long at all, are they?
Unless this was designed and the app's wrong. I don't need another iPad. I love my 12-inch iPad. I don't want another size. And the only reason I want a new iPad is because I want to give my old one to my parents because they're Mac's failing and they don't use it for anything other than email and play Mahjong. So.
Yeah, for me, it's going to come down to what features are supported and not supported on the current generation.
As long as it supports Mahjong, it won't exactly.
No. I mean, I would love to keep my 12-inch and not buy a new 10.5. But is everything we've seen supported on the current generation of iPad Pro?
It's got to be, because that's only one generation back on the Pro 12-inch. And the new 12-inch definitely manages it, so...
I haven't seen anything that I would say this is not possible due to, I don't know, some hardware feature.
No.
Right.
I mean, for me,
you can't obsolete one generation back.
My first gen iPad Air.
You can't for every feature, but you can for specific features, which Apple has classically done. So I don't put it past them to say this one feature is not supported on a...
Yeah, but their policy has not been to legacy stuff obsolete stuff, is it? They've been very inclusive in their process policies.
Music has always been a part of Apple's DNA.
Siri.
We first revolutionized the music industry with iTunes.
Speaker. Screen.
Then we forever changed the way people listen to music on the go with the iPod. And today, iPhone has become the best portable music player in the world. And it's even better
than Siri Hi-Fi.
You now have 40
now you know why HomeKit
songs
supports speakers
in your pocket. And when you
and this is the reason why that Sonos thing happened earlier.
It's called the iPod Hi-Fi 2.
To wireless
God no.
Now so we have such
actually I liked mine, but that thing was heavy as a tank.
But what about our homes?
There's a speaker off to the right there.
We think we can do a lot to make this experience much better. Just like we did with portable music, we want to reinvent home music. And I'd like to invite Phil up to tell you all about it. Phil.
Phil up.
Here we go.
Said it like that, like Phil up. It sounded like he said Phil up.
Like to invite Phil up?
You like Philip Schiller is his real name, but he said Phil up.
To reinvent the way we enjoy.
Thanks for the clarification,
in the home.
Patrice was being German.
So many of us. Why hasn't this happened yet?
Yeah.
There certainly are a lot of companies hard at work making products.
I still think the funniest thing last month was Schiller going, what these things need is a screen, and then Amazon released it the following day.
Music sound good around our homes. These aren't smart speakers.
Hey, Sonos.
Others.
So they are going directly after Sonos.
There we go, look, Amazon.
But they don't sound so great when you listen to music.
Yeah, they do. The echo is brilliant.
All this
don't talk shit, Phil.
Can really deliver a breakthrough experience. And our team has been hard at work for many years now on a breakthrough home speaker.
We're going to get a Joni.
It has to
do
a few things really great if it's going to
be
a great $199
bucks.
First, needs to rock
try
the house.
Try like $399.
Right, we need to enjoy
no
our
one's
going to
buy a speaker like that.
I know, it's going to be overpriced, I'm telling you.
Free from distortion.
I don't know, because they seem to be hitting good price points on a lot of the stuff.
It's going to fit in different rooms in our house, and it needs to be smart enough to know what to do to make the music sound great.
They're going after Sonos. Third, they're going after the high end.
It has to be really fun to use. It has to have a built-in musicologist.
I think they're
going to
step right in the middle.
Help us hear the music we love. Or discover
I think
the music
it's
we're going
to love. $199.
I hope so. I'd buy it.
I say $249.
They've done a lot of stuff of late, which has been keenly priced. So I'm
a sneak peek at it this morning.
I'm not saying the old elitist Apple's dead. Don't get me wrong, but they have considered price quite well, and they've done us a lot of favors on this side of the Atlantic by not bumping.
I think you're wrong on this. I'm putting it right in the middle between $299 and what is Sonos charge for their main speaker? $599, $699.
It looks like an old
Mac Pro
thing.
Which one?
No screen.
What was that JBL color thing in the top?
It is a JBL thing. Oh, hang on, what's going on here? You don't need a screen because you got your iPad.
Or your
it's absolutely beautiful, and we call
or
it...
Or your watch.
HomePod.
$69.
HomePod.
Available at Best Buy.
Just like iPod like that reinvented thing. Music in our pockets, HomePod is going to reinvent music in our homes. So let's talk about these features.
HomePod.
First, rock the house. The HomePod is just under 7 inches tall.
I think that's what
it's
Doc is growing, right?
It's covered in a seamless 3D mesh fabric that has incredible acoustic properties. And it hides within
it bounces.
Amazing audio technology.
It looks like a stretched
example,
tennis ball.
Along the bottom is a array.
Looks like it was designed by JBL for sure.
Pack that's packed with seven tweeters, each with
seven tweeters.
So what's the point?
That'd be good for podcasts.
What's the point in making a speaker that throws sound into a wall? Because no one puts a speaker in the middle of a room.
And that'll become really clear in a bit.
Am I replacing my
light? It has directional control.
It has a
really beamforming.
A 4-inch woofer, upward facing with a large motor to move a lot of air. That's automatic bass equalization and dynamic software modeling so that as we turn the volume
I don't doubt for one second it's going to sound amazing.
And all of this is controlled by an Apple A8 chip. Yes, the same chip that powers the inside of our iPhone is inside HomePod. It's perhaps the biggest brain ever in a speaker.
Really for a speaker.
It does some incredible things.
It's 249 if it has a chip in it.
Yeah.
It does real-time acoustic modeling, audio beamforming, and multi-channel echo cancellation. You don't have to know what any of that is, just know that it sounds incredible.
What's it doing that it needs an A8 in it?
Next.
It's listening to the room and adjusting the sound accordingly.
Siri and
AI. It has a mic too.
It gets its music wired.
Oh yeah, Siri.
Still massively enough,
you can put it most anywhere in your house. You can put it on a table, on a shelf.
That's funny. Nerds never complain about too much processor.
Gordy Jackson in the chat room says, if you don't knock all your walls down, then you're placing it wrong.
It uses that information to adjust the audio, to balance it, and take full advantage of the environment and create a very spacious sound. Now, we want to give you a sense of what that experience is like. So we want to play some music in this room and show you a visual simulation to give you an understanding of some of the technologies it's using and how it's adapting them to make an incredible sound out of this compact speaker. So we're going to start by playing an audio track, and it'll be a full mix, and then we're going to break it down into some of the components that the HomePod controls.
These folks don't have a TV in their house.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wait, so that's a full rich audio mix. But within it, HomePod detects the center vocals and can use beamforming to direct them.
Oh, Ewan.
Oh boy.
It gives incredible clarity and precision.
Phil, where do I sign?
It detects something called direct energy with the instrumentation and direct that in the room as well.
If it works as well as the AirPods.
It has something called made up name, which we've given it.
Well, this is the part where they finish the demo and they say, and we've mounted all of these in the ceiling here and we've been using AirPlay 2 to sync all of the sound, and what you've actually been hearing is an array of
HomePods. Okay, that would get my respect.
That would be awesome.
But based on the fact there's two huge cabs that I can see in the roof already.
No, I know. I'm joking.
HomePod can direct all of this and pull it together to a full rich
But that would have been awesome.
That fills up your room.
And there's one under every seat. You get one. You get one. You get one. We bought everyone an Oprah.
Yes. It's a really remarkable
you get
experience
HomePod,
to hear this kind
you
of
get
a spacious
HomePod,
sound.
And you get a HomePod.
You get a billionaireess. You get a billionaireess. You get a billionaireess. You get a boyfriend.
They automatically work together to give this incredible spacious sound that really has the power to rock your house.
Okay.
Next, a musicologist, this intelligent helper to help us discover the music we love.
You know there's going to be an American university
HomePod
offering that as a doctorate next year.
Yes. Incredible speaker system that works together.
I'm a bullshitologist.
With our Apple Music subscription from the beginning.
Call me Dr. Bullshitologist.
Now, Apple Music, as you know,
I trademarked that, dude.
Cloud, and the speaker can get it directly
Rob's been
from
watching
the
since the start, and he can't remember if this is six or not.
2 million artists, 10,000 of playlists, but not just any music library. This is your music.
And one
library.
More thing, Patrice
it knows
gets
the
Apple
playlists
Play.
You've set up. It knows the artists you love, and all of them stream directly to your HomePod. It works with an array of six microphones around the middle. So as you talk to it and you say those magic
words. That's
where
Phil's tire's gone.
Hey Siri, you see a wave.
As everybody's device goes up in the audience.
It'll respond to your commands and help serve up the music you want to hear. The Siri team
this is pretty crazy
hard
though.
To adapt the domain of music and Siri to be even greater.
It isn't, at the minute. I mean, it sounds great. Don't get me wrong.
Music. Simple
He's
things,
talking a good
like
game.
Play Beats 1 Radio. We all want to do that. Or play Unpoppy. Check it out if you don't know what that's about.
It plays anything.
Play something new.
Does it plays without your
track?
iPhone,
something
clearly.
I ask all the time. Who's playing drums on this track?
So there's got to be
complex questions like, what was
the voice interface
song
will get it running.
May 5th, 2016.
Play 24 like Karat Magic next.
I like that song. He's a free form. Siri doesn't need a specific list of commands. It can interpret what you're saying and help you discover the music you love. And even better, you don't have to just sit next to the HomePod to talk to it. You can be across the room. And
look at that.
To the
Will
HomePod
Smith's talking to it from the other side of the room.
Playing, and the speaker array and the microphones can pick it up and hear what you're saying.
Yeah, this girlfriend is annoying.
There's the power to rock the house. It has spatial awareness so that it understands...
You use rock the house like 8 times already. Nobody says that anymore.
Interactivity of Siri becoming
and helping us old white guys.
That's why.
And since Siri's built in...
I get a free musicologist with every
speaker.
The teams
also work hard to make it a great and helpful home assistant as well.
If it's based on Siri, no, it doesn't.
Music is something Siri knows really well in HomePod. There are other domains as well. We've worked hard to pick the first
Here are some cinemas near you.
In a product like HomePod, so of course, you can play
podcasts.
Yeah, I mean,
what happens?
But it can also
how many times are we going to drag that horse out and beat it?
Apparently, London Mac User Group, who are meeting in London at the moment, and we've tried to get them on the thing, but on the coverage with us, but they've not got a good enough connection at the moment. They've just offered that the raffle prize tonight is a Siri speaker. How cool is that?
For example,
nice. Without knowing the price.
Yeah, they don't know the price yet. I think there might be a ceiling on this, but they've just offered it as the raffle prize. The raffle prize. They obviously haven't got a raffle prize for tonight, which is why they're glad that they've been
answered. To a party. You can set up reminders, check all the sports news and weather, all directly with your voice.
Rob's not buying it because he spent all his money on Sonos.
From the cloud. And if you have HomeKit devices
well,
set up,
have I, but you can say this is good. Like, I mean, I can always
on.
Sell my Sonos.
Turn the heat up. Turn on the air conditioning. Bring
so it integrates
down
with HomeKit and you can control your home
Turn
from it.
Turn off the lights in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've set up that scenes in the bedroom, you can control those cool. as well. You can say, I'm home.
I wonder if this helped replace the Apple TV as a hub.
And the whole scene can automatically
Well, it probably could do that today even.
To your HomePod.
Yes, I'm saying. Because like I have one room that I don't want to put another Apple TV in. That I kind of need a home.
It's got iPhone integration, so you're in the middle of town. You can turn the speaker on at 11 and shit your missus up.
On your iPhone
yes.
Yes.
Now setting up a HomePod and its microphone array in your home, you probably have a question that we've worked really hard to deal with, which is privacy. Our team cares deeply about your privacy. So, for example,
end-to-end encryption from the speaker to your ears.
Siri. Until you say it, nothing's being sent to Apple. It recognizes when you do say it, and from that point, it sends an anonymous Siri ID in order to help you with the command you're looking for. And, of course, that communication is all encrypted. So this is
I like the fact that they've spent a bit of time talking about end-to-end encryption and security and the stuff.
Typically,
Jesus.
Wi-Fi speakers, if they're a good quality, are $300 to $500.
Yep.
So $299.
A smart speaker might cost you $100 to $200.
Yep.
$199. So it's not unreasonable for a HomePod to be priced in the range of $400 to $700.
But it's not.
So we're really excited to tell you that HomePod...
$249.
$349.
Told
you.
I was off
yep.
my hundy.
Comes in white.
Batwench, tell Mr. Batwench she ain't winning
It'll
that tonight.
Start shipping this December, first in the U.S., UK, and Australia, and then
finally
next year
in Germany,
bringing it around the world. So that's HomePod. Back to
save
you.
Your Christmas
UK
money, kids.
That's too expensive.
Thank you.
It's about the same price as a...
That's what I... That's cheaper than I expected.
We really believe it's going to take your
December.
Experience to the next level. Now...
Yeah, so just in time for Christmas.
It's been an incredible morning.
Yeah, there's comments about end-to-end encryption being banned in the UK. I can see that not happening because there's going to be so much rebellion from the tech community over
this year. Some now, some in the fall, and others at the end of the year. We got started.
Yeah, I mean,
what I'm getting for Christmas now.
No, but Rob's making a great point here. You can buy a Play 3 for that, and the Play 3 is an incredible device.
Healthier life.
Yeah, but you don't know what this sounds like yet, so it's unfair to do that comparison just yet. I agree the Play 3 is incredible, is badass, but we don't know if this is actually good or not until it comes out. So when it comes out, they'll be comparative, and we'll go screw it. Play 3
what does it take, and what does it take to connect a Play 3 to an Echo Dot?
Well, the Echo is
49.
No, no, no. Because Sonos integration for Alexa is imminent. Including a completely this summer. New
no, but he's saying it needs still need two separate pieces, which actually ends up costing more.
Right, the Play 3 doesn't have a mic on it, right?
iOS 11.
No, but it doesn't do anything different in terms of operating off your phone. So you can if you've got Play 3s already, iPad, there's no way you're jumping away from that at that price. iPad I think they haven't looked at the market they're trying to pull from. It's the
biggest. No, they're going after people who haven't bought a Sonos stuff yet. They don't want to necessarily supplant Sonos, and they could, but I mean, for the price.
At that money, I'm buying a Sonos.
No, but then you still got to buy an Echo, which Adam's trying to say.
I've already got
so it's going to come out for more.
I've already got an Echo.
Yeah, so do I.
That's what I'm saying. They need a price that they could pull people away from Sonos, and they haven't. They've actually put a price that drives people to Sonos if they're into the idea of Sonos already.
I would consider switching simply because this HomePod thing has an assistant.
But you're vastly overpaid, Patrice.
I overpaid for my Sonos too.
We have a hands-on area.
I mean, according
there's no such thing as overpaid. I keep saying this over and over again. Right. You got the money.
Right,
and if it's into your value proposition, it's not overpaid.
Leave it alone. It's a joke. It's a joke. Jesus Christ, man. You grouchy old bastard.
It's not about cratchy. People listen to you because you're a luminary. So when you say things like that, you're setting like, you know, other people to say stuff like that when that's not necessarily true.
Are we missing something with these panels that he's showing in this store thing?
Just color computers or iPads.
No. Look on the back wall. I think it's part of the Apple Today session. I don't know if it's just a screen, projector screen, or screens. To tell
you that Michelle Obama
Ewan's illuminary
will join us.
Michelle Obama's joining them for what? Is she a developer now as well?
Today at Apple?
Times are hard for her.
She'll be joining us for the open session in this room tomorrow, and she'll be talking about empowering people from all walks of life to change the world. This is a
good
very
job.
Special treat, and I encourage everyone to come.
That is great.
I hope everyone here awesome. Has a fantastic week. Thank you. Thank you.
Au revoir, Tim. Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
And we're done. And we're clear.
So 2 hours and about 15 minutes.
Yeah, no. Thanks for calling me a luminary, Doc. That gets you invited on every week, no question.
No, I'm serious, bro. I mean, not even trying to be a smartass or anything. You, because you've been doing this for so long, let me explain it because I need to. You've been doing this for so long, people will trust your opinion. So it's one of the reasons why I get so irritated with Leo, because whether we like it or not, people trust his opinion. And so when he says things that he probably should have thought about more thoroughly, it kind of irks me. So I'm just saying that because you are that for your listeners, then a salient point is important, even though you like to take a piss out of yourself all the time.
Thanks.
That was crazy, that keynote.
It was a good keynote again, though. It's not. I'm quite happy with the keynote.
No.
We were having a chat today in the Slack room, and I said, you know, I haven't been at Apple for 6 months now, and I haven't had reason to go at Apple. They've done really well. They've not listened to me. I clearly understand that because no one listens to me. But even though I'm a luminary, they've done stuff right in the last 6 months, as far as I can see, in my opinion, which they didn't do before, which is why I was aggressive at them. So I think there's been some really good stuff in the last 6 months. I think that was a really good keynote. I think. Yeah. They've done some things that clearly show that they are price sensitive, and they've done other stuff that clearly show that they aren't, because no one's fucking curious with those speakers.
Let me say this: I think the difference is you're talking about existing products that have been in the lineup that they've been becoming more price competitive on, and this is what Apple always does. They always bring out a new product at the highest end price point that they think they can get, because they know that early adopters, guys like me and Doc and other people that are here, we're going to pay the premium just to have the new thing. And then the next generation comes out a year from now, and they will start to get more and more aggressive on pricing. So it doesn't surprise me that they targeted this right at the high end, because it's a brand new category for Apple. I know it's not a new category for other companies. Like
Yeah, exactly.
So this is classic. This is classic Apple. So it doesn't surprise me. And I agree with you, Ewan. They have been being competitive on iPads and iPhones and a lot of other things, trying to fill out the market. But that's what they always do. They always start at the high end, and then they start to fill out the product line as it matures.
Yes, exactly.
I think as soon as they can get the production stuff straight in the way too, we will see a price drop in ear. AirPods in September when the next phone comes out. Mate,
But those were price competitive from the beginning.
They were brilliant price, and you've got to see some frigging delivery on those before you can start seeing some changes in prices.
If they can get production straight in the way, they would drop it anyway. And I just think that they'll drop it.
What are we? Four years now? 4 years that product's been out, and they still 6 week delivery. 4 years. Yeah.
AirPods?
He's joking again, Doc.
Jesus Christ, Doc.
Right, it's early in the damn morning over here.
Isn't it a good strategy to, when you introduce a new product, to also price it a little bit higher so that you don't get the big volumes, so that you can straighten up your production and then drop the price when you're ready?
It's business. It's just good for bottom line. I mean, let's be honest about it. It's just like they know they can get that price for it. They're going to be making a crud ton profit margin on each one that they sell. And for all those other reasons, sure. But I guarantee you the number one reason is they look at what's the top of the line we can get for this and still sell a ton of units and make a ton of profit.
Yep.
Richard Klein says, did this end about new speakers being usable with AirPlay 2 speakers? As AirPlay 2 speakers, I think that's probably a given.
They showed two operating together, like multiples operating together, so I'm sure they stay in sync. And
Ian says, Apple took shit last year, but I think they've done a good job here. And I agree, I think they have done a good job.
The pacing was a little bit interesting. It was very, very fast at the beginning, and once they reached iOS,
when we hit
they
stickers,
slowed
really.
Down.
Craig Ferengi slowed down at stickers.
they always tend to drag around the middle part, though, don't they? Historically.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the part most people are interested in, so it kind of makes sense. But I found that interesting.
Yeah. I think the biggest announcement almost is the iMac Pro.
I think it was massive. I can't wait to spec up the machine I'm never going to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that will deliver to some of the Pro customers, and for the ones who don't want to wait for the actual, you know, rev of the Mac Pro. I think that gets a lot of people in a lot of different categories of the Pro market through.
You know, when they have a meeting about a website for the analytics on it, you know that they sit down and go, okay, how many of the window lickers priced at the most expensive Mac Pro that we make? And they go, 85 million this quarter. Wow, how many did we sell at that too?
I mean, that thing just kills. No one's buying a trash can between now
Let me ask you a question. With the new iMac, at this particular stage, is there any reason for the trash can to still exist? Other than the fact that some people want screens separate always.
I got £2,000 worth of screens in front of me. Yeah, I want a trash can. Yeah.
No, but I mean, you're not going to buy one now. Like, if you're walking in for a Pro machine now, you're either buying an iMac Pro or you're walking out and waiting.
Well, it depends.
I'm not buying a machine.
If your Mac Pro suddenly dies and you really need another Mac Pro, then you're going to buy one today. But I think that's the only reason why you would do it.
I would buy the iMac Pro and just turn it around and face it a wall. If you don't want that screen, just hook up your externals and go.
Certain setups where you need the Mac Pro with all the connectivity, and I mean, it's somewhere in a rack or something.
The thing's got four. What do they say? Four Thunderbolt 3 ports.
Yeah, yes. That's a massive waste of resource. If you don't, I don't need screens. I don't want screens. I have two fantastic screens in front of me, which smother the width of my entire desk. I don't want a machine that's got a screen on it.
Shove it under the desk behind the wall and use your two screens. I'm saying, like, you're going to pay the same price for the Trashcan Mac Pro, and it's less powered than this thing in a lot of configurations.
Adam, I think the current Mac Pro supports, is it six screens? I think it is.
Yeah.
So technically, will the new iMac Pro be used as a Sonnet box?
How many people do you know that are using more than three screens?
I'm not saying it's not widespread. I'm just saying there are people who will still keep buying the Mac
and
Pro.
My only point starting this conversation was I think there's no reason to buy a trash can Mac Pro between now and the time that the new Mac Pro comes out if you don't need it.
I agree with that point.
That was the whole point.
Unless you got a fire damage one, then yeah, I agree.
Yeah, exactly. That's the part I disputed where I said there is one reason.
But you're going to see, I think you're going to see the Cord machines over the Xeon 4 core are going to come down in price now to tomorrow.
Has anybody checked the website?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised to find, you know, my machine is now £1,000 cheaper than it was with a 6 core.
Yeah, that could definitely happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I want a Mac Pro again. I love this machine. I adore this machine. It's the best Mac I've ever owned, no question. I love it.
I'm kind of hoping that what you and said is true, because that would actually give me a reason to buy a Mac Pro. Yeah, the new iMac looks dope, but I got technically a brand new, 27 in, so I wouldn't mind having a trash can just to say I've, had one to go with my arsenal of, Macs that I have since they've come out.
If you buy the 6-core Mac Pro, there's not a lot that you can't do on it in terms of function. You're into very high-end stuff at that point. For the stuff that you'd use it for, Doc, I think you'd probably find that you'd eat it alive.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think I really want one. But at the time I got this, I really got it because just for, doing stuff with the laser and whatever, this was a really nice machine to sit in a place where people walk in. You know what I mean? It looked a lot less like cords and wires and things. And me, like, I plug all kind of crap to mine. So I went for the iMac based off of like a showroom when people walk into my shop. But, hindsight being 2020, yeah, I think, at this point in time, yesterday when I was synchronizing audio for the podcast and me like a dummy, I decided I wanted to try recording at 9,632 float just so I had a lot of headroom and dynamic range to eventually squash it back down to an MP3. And then synchronizing that for a video version, first time ever I taxed my iMac. Like, I was doing some, I don't know if you guys know about Isotope plugins. They're audio plugins for sweetening audio. I was running an Isotope, noise plugin to get my podcast to sound right, because I had an error when I was recording it where the first 20 minutes I only had sound from the Mevo and not from the AKG, which I don't know why I moved it all the way over there. Anyway, it took like 30 minutes to calculate the stupid fix. And that first time I heard my fans come really loud on my iMac. And second, I wished I had a Mac Pro at that point.
Chat room gets the last word. They've said, agree with you there, Ewan, on the screens. I've got two 32 inches and I love them. Mac Pro all the way with a trash can. And Ian says, thanks, guys. Really appreciate the coverage. I've had loads of fun tonight, but I've got to go. So don't forget there's a Spider 5 competition. All you got to do is send me the three primary colours that there are on your monitors, and you could get entered into the draw to win yourself a Spider 5 Express. It's brilliant. Well worth having as a prize, trust me. And we got three of them to give away, so good odds for you. We've also got our Patreon system as well. If you'd like to donate to all the crap that we produce, please do that. The Daily Show, the news show that Kyle does each morning, the Patreon donations pay for that. So if you'd like to donate directly to bageltechnews@gmail.com on PayPal and avoid Patreon, then that's fine. Set yourself up a standing order. It's a far better way of doing it. And you don't run the risk of it being cancelled by Patreon, because at the moment we've got a bit of an issue with the subscriptions that people have signed up for getting cancelled by PayPal, Patreon not chasing them up, and people not realising that their PayPal subscriptions have lapsed. Since the last time we said that, we had four people who've written to us gone, I had no idea I've been paying you for the last few months. And someone said that's $50 this week, so thanks very much to make up the difference. Do appreciate that. The best way of doing it is a direct donation through PayPal. Just set up a standing order with PayPal that sends it direct to the bageltechnews@gmail.com PayPal account. And you are supporting BTN all the way. So please do that. Thanks, Doc. Where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Announcement. I got a brand new podcast that just launched. It's called The Solid Podcast. You can find it at solid.podbean.com. And, of course, on this lovely network. So thank you guys for all your support.
Batwin says, where do you send the answer to the quiz? It's britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, as normal. Adam, where are you, sir?
As always, Maccast on iTunes, maccast.com, and Maccast on all your favorite social medias.
Brilliant, mate. And Patrice?
Well, as always, every week here on BTN at the Mac Show, everything I do at thepatrice.com, and in about 3.5 weeks in the lovely UK in Birmingham for the Bash.
For the Bash. We'll talk about the Bash on Friday a little bit more. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Thank you, Apple, for giving me a 3-hour podcast. I've got to cut into two parts. We'll see you again on Friday for the live shows as normal. 4 p.m. Mac Show, 8 p.m. Big Show, and it'll be loads and loads of fun. Thanks for listening. Cheers, chaps.
Cheers.